I'd like to look at a few verses in Hebrews, fourth chapter of Hebrews. Twelfth verse says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'd like to focus in a little bit this morning on our Savior. I am very thankful for Jesus this morning. I'm glad that I'm especially glad for the love of God that He has towards me, that I can experience and can be a part of. It's been a bedrock to me in my experience of times that I've struggled or doubted, or time of failures and difficulties. It's been a real anchor to me to know that God loves me. When I can get a hold of the idea that the great supreme being of the universe, the one that created everything, knows everything, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, loves me, then that can really give me a courage to go on. I'm glad for Jesus this morning. I'm glad that He was willing to come and die for me. This 14th verse starts off by saying, seeing then. And in the Scriptures, when you get the therefore or because of or seeing thens, and it's a little bit different with this Scripture, but I think it should be written that way. Seeing then refers to something that you see or understand. And what He had just said is that there's no creature, that neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Our Savior knows us completely. I don't know how you feel about that altogether, but the Lord knows you completely. I don't know anybody completely. I don't know myself completely. I don't know any of my family completely. The closest person in my life is my wife. I don't know her completely. But the Lord knows you. He knows you completely. You ever been sitting and thinking about something and think that, well, I'm the only one that knows this, and I'm glad nobody else knows the way I think, or I can think in a way nobody else can know? Do you know there's one that knows everything that you think? There's one that's involved. You're not ever really alone. God knows. Our Savior knows. He knows altogether. And that to some people could be a negative. I don't think it has to be a negative, but it could be a negative that the Lord knows everything. He knows everything that you. He knows every intent of your heart. He knows everything that you think and why you think it. There's nothing that you think. If we would deal with the Lord, and this is my admonition, our Savior is what I want to preach on this morning. Our Savior, my Savior, your Savior, is a is a very close part of your life today. You don't think any thoughts that He don't know that you're thinking. You're frustrated? He knows you're frustrated. You're disgusted with somebody? He knows you're disgusted with somebody. You have bitterness in your heart today? He knows you have bitterness in your heart today. There is no creature. All of them that's manifest is known in His sight. Everything is open and naked before Him with which we have to do. Everything that you do think, everything that happens in your life, the Lord knows completely about it. It's totally naked and open before Him. The feelings that you have, He knows those feelings. He knows when you're not doing well. Wouldn't it be better in our relationship if we was to say when we're not doing well, if we would say, I'm not doing well? Wouldn't it be better than go on and have these things and not deal with them when the Scripture obviously is saying He knows about them? But it says more than that. It says, seeing then. If you have these things, you already know that they're open. God already knows about them. But it says more than that. Seeing that then, if you understand that, if you understand that there is nothing that you can hide, or you can hide it from me, or you can hide it from the closest ones in your life many times, but that you can't hide it from Him. Seeing that, understanding that everything is completely open. You're going to need somebody. That's what this is saying. Because you can't hide who you are from God, you're going to have to meet Him. And how are you going to do it? How are you going to meet a God that is altogether holy and expects altogether holiness? This is a God that you're going to have to stand before. When Isaiah dealt with Him, he simply said, holy, holy, holy. That was Isaiah's. He said, I'm a man of unclean, unclean tongue. I dwell among unclean people. He totally saw Himself when He saw God. When He realized what God, He said, holy, holy, holy. I'm unworthy. I'm undone. I'm unclean. How are you going to be able to stand before totally open and naked? I'm glad God didn't make us till we have some kind of telepathic communication that we know what each other thinks, because it'd be pretty miserable. I know what you just thought. I say, now quit thinking that. I did not do that. You can talk about it all the time. It'd be you imagine what kind of a thing that it would be, and how you, you don't like me, do you, thinking thoughts like that? Well, you know what I'm saying? There's one that knows it all together. Seeing that then, makes me know how much I need God. How much I need a Savior. Lord, I really need You. Our purity in our life in the Lord, I'm not going to put this beyond what it is. I realize our humanity, but I want to say something. Most of Christianity shortchanges this thing bad. The grace of God is a powerful element in a Christian's life to overcome themselves, to overcome their selfishness, to overcome their inbred carnalities. It's a powerful force in the Scriptures. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right here. In this present world. This isn't for the world to come. This is for this present world. And when I think of the idea that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How am I going to accomplish such a thing as that? That I can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? That my thought, this is what's laid out before us. The grace of God has appeared to every man. Women, this is mankind. So you can't say what didn't come to us. It comes to mankind. Seeing then that everything we do is open and naked before Him whom, with Him whom we have to do, then I need something more. It's offered to us here. We have a great high priest, not just a high priest. We have a great high priest. Thank God for this great high priest. A priest is meant to be a bridge. It's a go-between. It's the way to get there. This priest was in the Old Testament was the one that took the representations of the sins of the people. And he took them before God. He was the one that could stand before God. We have a great high priest in our Savior that can take our calls to the Lord. He can take our calls to the God. I think of a scripture. I won't turn to it, but there's a scripture where Jesus is telling, and he said there was a master that planted a fig tree. And he come back to get fruit off of the fig tree, and there was no fruit on it. I think it was a process of about 3 years or something that he come to get the fruit, and there was no fruit. And he told his servant, he said, cut it down. I've come back to get what I had planted, what I aim to get, and there was nothing there. The justice of it is, cut it down. He said, why cumbereth you the ground with it? That there's a space that I can raise something there that can be beneficial. But this tree isn't beneficial, so why cumbereth you the ground? Servant, cut it down. But the servant said, Lord, let it stay. Let it stay. Let me dig about it. Let me fertilize it. Let me work with it to see. Let me see if I can get something out of it. You know, that's what that analogy is our Savior. That's what the Lord, the high priest is. He's the go-between. He's the one that's going to say to His Father, let it stay. Father, I died for it. Let it stay. Let me dig about it. Let me fertilize it. Let me work with it. I'm glad that our Savior is more involved in our lives than making a plan, a generic plan, and saying, you all come to it if you want it, if you don't, it's okay. It's more than that. His love towards us, this high priest, open it, listen, you are open and naked before Him, and He loves you anyway. That's what amazes me. You mean I'm open and naked completely at me? All of this, and you love me anyway, and that you're willing. Look, I'm so thankful today that He's been willing to say, Father, I know He's just covering the ground. I know there ain't a lot getting out of Him, but let me deal with Him. Let me dig. Do you ever feel, are you thankful that He's willing to dig about you? Digging about's painful sometimes. It's not comfortable to be dug about. To, 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 to stimulate around to sometimes it's in the analogy of the trees and the branch. He says, I'll cut it off. I'll prune it. I'll cut off the branches that it might bring forth more for you. I ain't bringing some fruit, but Father, let me deal with it. Let me husband it a little bit. Let me see what I can do about it. Seeing then, if we're open in everything before it, we have a great high priest. We have one that we can take advantage of. That loves us and goes before us. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that He's willing to do it. I'm glad when I begin to fear that there's one that says, come back over this way. I'm glad that there's a voice behind, as the Scripture says, here's the way, walk ye in it. I'm glad for all the critiquing that the Lord's willing to do and the digging around and the allowing of things in God's great arsenal. God's got a great arsenal of the whole universe, and He can use these spiders and these wasps, and He can use hurricanes and tornadoes, and He can use the fire and the wind and the storms and the snow, and He's got the great arsenal of the universe in His pocket for us that He would use to get our attention. You ever get busy? Sure, you get busy. Life's going to go on. We set aside a couple hours on Sunday morning, then Sunday night, and if we're diligent, maybe Wednesday night, and we set a few hours and we call it our religious service. I hope it's more than that. I really, really hope that it's more than that, because He's worthy of more than that. It really is a full-time thing, but life goes on and we get busy with sometimes, and sometimes we need reminded. We need reminded that we're open and naked before Him. And do you know what? We can give a facade to each other. That brother Marty really loves the Lord. He does the things. But I'm really open and naked before the one that sees me walk through life. I'm open and naked when I go to town, and I'm not in my religious. Listen, I want to live this way all the time. I'm using this as an analogy, but when I'm not in my religious clothes, I'm in my religious clothes all the time. I don't have two clothes. I don't have two wardrobes. But what I'm saying, I'm not in my religious mode. God, wait a minute. I'm open. I'm open and naked, and seeing that then. We have a high priest. Not just a high priest. We have a great one. We have an outstanding one. Why this one's great is that this is personalized. It's made, He can personalize His high priestness to you. Rather than just take everybody at once like the high priest did, that can't see into your life. This high priest is a great high priest. And He can personalize that to each and every one of us. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It's good to be in a situation. Bible teaches us to make friends with the worldly mammon. Most of everybody here knows Brother Ed Wilson. Brother Ed Wilson's made a good practice of wherever he's went, from LaRonger to Neosho or wherever it is. He makes friends. He likes to make friends with the sheriff. Prosecuting attorneys, district attorneys, judges, all that. Bible says make friends. Make friends with them. Do you know why? Well, I say it's good to make friends with everybody. It's good to live good in your community and your neighbors, and because they might need to speak up for you. You might need a friend, but there's a friend There's one that's better than that. It'd be good. It's good in this world, I say, if you get called before the judge, that you was friendly with him. That'd be a good thing to be over in Webster County there for a long time. Booney Summersville, they called him the coon hunting judge. Game wardens, the game conservation officers just didn't like him at all. Because when they'd do their job in catching people, but they couldn't do nothing about it because this old coon hunting judge was friends. He was just one of these old, and they'd bring him in and he just couldn't bring it in himself. He just didn't do nothing about it. Didn't do anything. But I mean, that's good. It's good in a sense. I'm not saying that's not maybe a little corruptible, but I mean, it's good to have somebody speak up. What better one to say to God Almighty, let me dig about him. Let me stand up for him. Let me be the go-between before I paid for him. I bought him. I paid for him. We have a high priest. And he went to the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. This is kind of backward language, but it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Well, basically what it's saying in modern English is we have one that can be touched. Our high priest is touched today. He cares about, it's a little discerning maybe that there's a being that watches in on my very most private thoughts, my private actions, that I wouldn't want other human beings involved in it. I want to be a private person. I want my own space. It's a little disconcerting that God always knows, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. I'm sure glad that He does. I'm sure glad that He knows all about that all the way down, because I need for Him to. I really need for Him to. And what this says is that I guess it can be concerning in one way. But when I got something going on that I don't understand about myself, when I've got something going on because I'm an emotional being, I don't try to live much of my life, and I don't feel like I do live much of my life by emotions, but I am an emotional person, and I can feel all geared up and hopeful and bright today, and something can happen by this evening, and I'll be all gloomy and discouraged, and sometimes I'll say, tell Linda, I said, I feel bad and don't know why. I feel discouraged and I don't even know what happened to make me that way. And we'll go back, did this do it? Did this do it? What was it done to make me feel the way I did? I want to tell you, there's one that knows why you feel the way you do. There is one that cares. This high priest is touched today by the feelings of your infirmities. This high priest knows exactly where you're at and what to do about it. I know what I'd do about it. I'd get rid of it right off. But that's not what the high priest does. Because this high priest knows just exactly how long you need your illness. This high priest knows exactly how long you need your sunshine. And he knows how much rain you need. I got plants up the house that says water regularly. Other plants says water sparingly. Other plants says that I got some blueberries and some pots up there that needs the pH about 5.5. And I got some raspberries that likes it about neutral at about 7.5. And if you don't know these things and you start making the raspberries can hold the acidic soil better, but the blueberries don't do good with it more alkaline. But if you don't know these things about it and deal with it, it doesn't bring much fruit. But our Savior says, let me dig about it. Let me dung it. Let me work with it. Let me fertilize it. Let me prune it. Let me do the ultimate that I can do to bring fruit in the life, to make it acceptable, to make it something that will be good and something that will work and something that, thank God, our Savior can take any condition, the drunkard, the drug addict, the abused, can take the ones that don't understand what a family really is. You know, there's a lot of warped situations out there in the world. And you and I, we can deal with psychologies, and I think there's some, I'll be honest with you, I think there's good information in some of that as far as human life goes. It's been studied, and it's probably true for the most of it. And so you understand it. Can you heal it? Can you help it? Is it successful to make it better? There's studies coming out that we've known for a long time. They're starting to find. I heard a study the other day that said that a lot of these people that are aggressive shooters and dysfunctional families. Many of them don't have a good father figure in them. They're most always male. Okay, does that doom us for that? Well, it does the world. You can understand it, but are you going to be able to change the next mass shooter? I want to tell you something. This high priest has got something the world don't have. This high priest has got not only the ability to understand it, but folks, we don't have to live on short rations today. Understand me. We don't have to end in 50 years of serving the Lord and say, I still got all these problems. He didn't say it was automatic that it was going to have fruit because he fertilized it and dug about it. He said, this is the ultimate chance. I know what I'm doing if they want to. If they got the desire for it, if I can get it to them, this is the best they have. You can reject the Lord all the way if you want to. But I want to say this. We have a high priest. We have one that we can take our troubles to, that can go get the and bring them back to us. I don't think we have to have a habit for 50 years. I think we can overcome those kind of things. We're all human, and for some reason we have, I used to call some things virtue and find out that there's a very fine line in what... You have a certain quality about you. It's always said, you know, steadfastness is a wonderful quality, but it's really akin to stubbornness. You know how close steadfastness is to stubbornness? And I can tout my great quality of steadfastness right into stubbornness. And find out that the very strength that I think I have is my weakness. Because I am so there. And so it is. You know, my family, I've told this many times, but my family, my whole family is this way. But the people that really learned to know us closely were more intimidated by us because we were such a self-confident bunch. All of my brothers and sisters, my mom, dad, we were all self-confident bunch. And we was taught not, I mean, it was just mom and dad. Dad didn't really, wasn't afraid of nothing. I mean, we would chase wood rats or mice or something and catch them in our hands. And people would say something about afraid of snakes. Why, we'd take off running and chase these snakes down and pull them out of holes, and we'd catch snakes. And anybody afraid of a snake in here? I knew a guy that was so afraid of a snake that he had a rubber snake in the drawer, and he was gonna scare his brother because he was afraid of snakes. And he said, I opened that drawer and went to get that rubber snake to scare, and he said, I couldn't do it. He said, I couldn't pick up a rubber snake. That's how scared he was of it. We wasn't scared. My mom used, I remember plainly, somebody said, there was a noise out on the porch. And my mom says, up in the night, my mom said, well, go out and see what it is. That's what my mom, go out and see what it is, and then you won't have to be afraid of it. Go out and see, it's probably just a cat. You know what we were taught to do? If you heard something out there and you wondered what it was, you went out and seen what it was. It wasn't nothing for me, the young boy, to take off by myself with my dog way back in the mountains, go 3 or 4 miles back in the mountains. We wasn't taught to be afraid of no mountain lions, no bears, no snakes, no darkness, no spirits, no. We wasn't afraid. We wasn't taught to be. I'm just telling you, there's other people that I've known, the families, that the children, I felt so sorry for them because anything that happened, they were sitting and saying, oh, it's going to be all of this. And them children, and they start crying, the little children, and they grow up that way and they're afraid of everything. I'm insensitive and I need work on it, okay? God's had to help me because I'm insane. I wasn't raised with those kind of sensitivities. So I can say one thing is a wonderful thing, but if I ain't careful, the very thing that I think's a virtue, that I don't have those problems, I'm totally insensitive. But I want to say this, you can run around with fears in your life that hinder your life, and there's a high priest. There's one that can make you overcome about the things that make you dysfunctional about life and give us direction on it. And one that can be confident because, to be honest with you, this is what I've found. I found for the most part that human words or human things just don't go very far. You can't change me. I'm sorry. You might say, I'd like to change that guy. You just can't do it. I need more than that. But the Lord can help us. We have a high priest that went to heaven to be a go-between with the great power and arsenal of the universe at his disposal. He went to be a go-between for us, to send us exactly what it is that we need, regardless of our environmental situations, no matter how we was raised, our genetics, whatever you want to link it to, there's one that's able to make us better, make us different. And he sets us a great high priest. And this is what he told us to do. And he, not only, I want to say this, not only is the great high priest, but the important thing is that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I can believe that God can do anything. But I need to believe that he wants to. I believe that he can do anything. But I need to believe that he will. Why? Because it bothers me. Because it touches me. And that's hard. That's hard for me. I believe in a great, powerful God. But I ain't always so sure why he'd do that for me. But what we need to believe is that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. You say, well, I'm too bad. No, you're not. That's the great thing about this great high priest. You're not too bad. As a matter of fact, he loves you supremely no matter what you are. No matter what you've done, where you've done, or what you've done, this high priest is the one that wants to dig about you. He knows he can do it. He knows he can alter your life and make you a different person. He knows he can. And he wants to do it. And he's touched by the things that touch you. And when you're not functional, it touches him. And so this is the admonition to all. This is one of the memorable scriptures in the Bible to me. Fourth chapter of Hebrews, verse 16. Because it's a universal statement. It goes for the saint that's been a saint for 50 years. It goes for the new convert. It goes for the one that the Lord's dealing with. It goes for the one deep in sin. It goes for everybody. Let us therefore, because, therefore, let us therefore, here's another therefore, because he's touched with our infirmities and loves us deeply, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Sometimes we feel like boldness and humility are opposites. And there's no opposite of humility is pride, not boldness. Boldness is not coming from a sense of pride or importance. Boldness is coming from the understanding that he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. When we can understand our Savior, I hope you do today. I hope you understand where he sits for you. Because some things can be ridiculous to me. I'll just be honest with you. I don't grasp every thought. He does. I know for people to cry over things that I'm sitting shaking my head wondering what they're crying over. I know people that's cried over nothing, too. They just cry. I don't get that either. Sometimes I kind of feel like, I don't know if any of you guys ever relate to this, but sometimes I feel like I wish I could cry. Just, you know, I just wish I could cry. Just can't help it. Can't do it. It's going to take more than that to make me cry. Would you understand this? He's touched by the feelings of your infirmities. There's things I don't understand. I don't get it. But he does. He gets it. Sometimes somebody loses something in their life and they sit down and bawl over it. And I think, I ain't hardly worth bawling over. I don't get it. I want you to understand this. He gets it. He's touched. Because it touches you, it touches him. And if you be willing to go boldly to his throne, he'll help you with it. You might come to me and say, Brother Martin, I'd say, I don't know. I don't understand you. I wouldn't say that, but I might think it. And the Lord knows I think it too. And I might think it. And can't help you. But that's not where this one's at. Let us therefore come boldly. The end of this whole scripture was for this point, that we learn to go boldly. With confidence and assurance that there's one that loves me, and I can look around knowing some of your life, I can say this. I know sometimes there's some frustrations. I know he cares. There's fears with some of you. He cares. There's some of you need to make a good test score at college. He cares. When the things bother you from the peer pressures and the things that happen to you young people, he cares. The things that happen, he says, come boldly to the one that's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Come to the one with the arsenal. Come to the one that can do anything, that can fix anything, do anything, help anything. Come boldly. That's what's coming. I said, not because I'm anything. I'm not going because I'm something important. I'm going because he's something important. I'm not going because I love. I'm going because he does. I can go boldly because he said he's touched with the feelings of my infirmities. And when something bothers me, it bothers me. You know, I read a guidepost some years back, and I remember thinking, well, that's that. There was this baseball player. He was a Christian. He was a baseball player. And, you know, they make millions of dollars playing baseball. Come on. Well, he got traded from like St. Louis to Kansas City or something. I don't know. It was that close to Missouri, but maybe he went to Minnesota. But anyway, he got traded and he writes this article on this guidepost about how what a trauma it was in his life. As a baseball player making millions of dollars to be traded to a team. Oh, and it was terrible and all this stuff. And he was, how God was helping him. But you want to know the truth about it is? I'm not going into the rights and wrongs about the profession. I'm just saying this. He went to the one that cared. Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't. It was hard for me to care. But Jesus is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. And if it bothers you, it bothers him. Because that's where he deals with. Maybe it's misguided. Maybe there is things we shouldn't care so much. But don't you think that's where you get them fixed at? He said, come boldly. With full confidence and assurance, I'm going to the place that I can get my life changed. I don't have to be this way. Have you ever come to something like that? And said, I don't have to be this way. The Lord can help me. I don't have to have. The Bible teaches us to revenge not ourselves. But sometimes we want to get back sometimes. We don't have to be that way. You don't have to have the tempers and the flares. You don't have to have that. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This grace again is the divine enabling power. It's not just a cover, but to find grace. to help in time of need is the divine influence upon our hearts. It is the changing element. It is the power of God versus our own abilities. God's grace can help us with any situation. So come boldly to the throne of grace in every need, everything you have. Remember today, you have a high priest. There is one sitting on the right hand of God today that's making intercession for you. And you can go boldly to the throne of grace to get help. You pray for me.